Welcome back to Stratomatic Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Ryder. In case you guys haven't heard, back on June 9th, two Stratomatic fanatics, Brett Caro and Sam Henneman, broke the Guinness World Record for the longest marathon of playing a board game. Previous record was 53 hours and 59 minutes. And Brett and Sam smashed that record by an additional 7 hours. Per the Strat release, they played 116 total games. Sam won 64 of them to Brett's 52. 20 extra inning games were played. And one of the really cool things was Brett had a 5-home-run inning by the 1964 New York Yankees against the 65 Twins. On the phone with me, Sam Henneman and Brett Caro, two Guinness World Record holders. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going all right. Thanks. What's the weather like where you guys are at?
We're just coming off of a week of like triple-digit temperatures, so it's been a little hot here in Minnesota this week.
Are you guys both in Minnesota?
Yes.
Where did you guys grow up?
A little town called River Falls, Wisconsin, which is at this point it's actually an eastern suburb of the Twin Cities metro, but it is in Wisconsin. Grew up about three houses from each other, I should say.
I went to school at University of Wisconsin. I grew up in Wisconsin. I went to school at University of Wisconsin, La Crosse, and one of my roommates at one point was playing for the La Crosse baseball team, and they played a game up in River Falls, and I drove up there to watch that doubleheader, and that is a cool, cool little town. I fell in love with it. I've never been up there before and really liked it. I can see why the Chiefs have their training camp up there.
Yeah, that was really cool back in the day when the Chiefs first came. We have a pretty actually interesting story about Joe Montana, and one of our friends heard this. Joe Montana, obviously everybody knows who Joe Montana is. At that point, he was in the twilight of his career, and he went down to the local car dealer to rent a car just for the month, for the couple months that he was, the couple weeks that he was there, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it was, and they completely blew him off. They just gave him a hard time. They're like, who is this guy? What does he want this car for? And the owner comes out of his office after they basically kick him out. They're like, you're ridiculous. We're not going to do this. And he's like, why'd you send Joe Montana away? And that's the kind of stuff that happens in a small town where it's not quite as, big celebrities aren't quite as big celebrities anymore.
All right, guys. When I first saw the news and everything was done, my first question that I thought of to ask you guys was, how long did you stink and sleep after this was all done?
It was, my first night, it was a solid, I think, 12 hours. And then I had like three straight nights of between 10 and 12 hours after that.
Sam?
Sam? Yeah, for me, it was about, it was 10 hours that first night. And then we flew back the next day after that, and it really took, I don't know, I'd say about a week before I was back to any kind of a normal sleeping schedule. It was tough to get more than, for whatever reason, tough to get more than 4 to 6 hours at a time before I had to get up and move around. And I think that was part of it, was just the motion and getting the muscles back to moving around again.
Are you guys naturally ones that need lots of sleep?
I would say no. I'm good on about 6 to 7, I think. So
that's about the same for me.
Now, you guys, I read in the New York Times, you guys are in your early 30s, right?
Correct.
That's right.
I'm
32.
Yeah, and I'll be 32 next month.
Okay, so you guys grew up in the same town, really close to each other. You're 32 years old. I'm 38, so I can totally identify. We are the Madden generation. We're the Nintendo, PlayStation generation. How in the world did you guys get into Strat then?
Yeah, I guess I kind of missed the boat on the whole Madden thing. I started playing Strat when I was 9. I mean, I know I was quoted as 10, but, I did the math. I hadn't turned 10 yet. My dad and I picked up the game, and I think, you know, Sam would come over occasionally. And it was something I played in my basement. I thought it was cool, but I didn't know if anybody else would think this was cool. Sam and I probably started playing within a year of me having it.
Yeah, and for me, it was, like Brett just mentioned, he introduced me to it. So we'd play a few games down at his place, and then, I did get into video games quite a bit, not just Madden, but also some of the more fantasy-type games that can really, really suck you in. But what it came down to for me is with the video games, like Madden at the time, they've done a lot better job since then. But if you knew which play to pick on third down and 15 or fourth and 15, you could always make it work. And Strato, as you know, there's no special recipe for it. It is going to play out more like a real game, and that's what consistently drew me back to it.
All right, what do you guys do for jobs? What are your careers? Sam?
Right now I've been with Enterprise Rent-A-Car for more than 5 years, so I've bounced around a couple different states with them. So that's, I work in kind of customer service for those guys.
Brett?
That was Brett. This is Sam now, and I recently, just within the last few weeks, actually since the tournament, launched a new business in North Dakota, and I'm planning on launching another brand here in Minnesota in the next couple of weeks.
Very cool. What are your all right, so you grew up in River Falls, pretty close to the Twin Cities, but yet still in Wisconsin. Are you Packers or Vikings fans?
Packers.
Yeah, it's hands on Packers.
On Wisconsin. Heck yeah. That's awesome. How about baseball guys? Are you guys Twins fans or Brewers fans?
I'm definitely a Brewers fan first. Once the Brewers switched leagues, I actually became a lot more of a Twins fan since they were local and my team wasn't trying to beat them up, 20 times a year.
And I actually grew up a Twins and Vikings fan. My dad is from St. Paul.
Yeah.
And so I grew up a Twins and Vikings fan. And then I guess as far as me switching over to the Packers, depending on your point of view, I either fell in with the wrong group of kids in school or I saw the light.
You saw the light. You saw the light. All right, guys, getting to the Guinness record. How did this thing all come about? Whose idea was it? What kind of planning went into it? How long did you guys train? First off, at what point, who came up with the idea?
Strato approached me with the idea last fall, so about almost a year ago. Real quick, they wanted to have, after winning the Ultimate Fanatic contest, they wanted me to play, one of the other top 10 finishers or Larry who finished number 2. That's kind of what they were looking for. And then, I didn't hear anything after that for a while. And then then all of a sudden I heard from them in the spring. And they're like, how about you play, I got just the guy to do this with me. And they kind of went, once Sam and I were fully on board, things kind of just advanced. This was probably, 4 months ago. It took about 3-4 months of planning on our end. As far as, so once we were on board, then it was a matter of Sam and I starting to hammer out logistics. And we're both type A logistics guys. So it wasn't just like, hey, we're going to fly out in a couple weeks and we're going to do this. It was like, we need to kind of plan for this. So we adjusted our sleep schedules. We really adjusted what we were eating and drinking so that I got myself completely off caffeine, as did Sam. Sam actually for a longer time than I did. It was, you just train for it. You train for it like you would anything else because you're testing the limits of your body. And it's not just, we weren't worried about the Stratomatic playing. I mean, we've done numerous events, Strato events where we've played, start at midnight, play till, noon. 10, 12-hour stretches weren't an issue, and we knew that.
Yeah.
It was, what's our body going to do to, in 24 hours, 48 hours into this thing, what are we going to be feeling like?
What kind? You mentioned you adjusted your sleep schedule. How did that work?
For me, I just had to make sure I had a solid week's rest before starting. I mean, I, instead of the 7 hours, I was trying to get 8 to 10 hours every night, just so that my body was completely rested. You know, for anything, you know, we encountered smoke. We're in New York City, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit of smoke from passersby, different things like that. So our immune systems were ready to go because they had, you know, fully rested. So,
Sam, I remember reading that you did a 46-hour marathon back in April while you were training for this thing.
Yeah, Brett and his wife actually hosted a gathering of sorts of a reunion of the old football league that Brett was talking about. It's the same group of guys that we grew up with and had our, you know, Friday all-nighters, you know, back in high school. And so we were at Brett and Carissa's house for the weekend, and you know, it was kind of our trial run. It wasn't necessarily sit down and Brett and I play as many games as we can or as long as we can face-to-face. It was just, again, finding out what was going to happen, how the body was going to react at 24, 30, 40 hours, and, you know, making sure that we're completely prepared for the event because, like Brett said early on in the conversation today, it's not something we just, we're going to, you know, fly by the seat of our pants and hope we were able to pull it off.
That 46 hours, though, must have given you enough a great deal of confidence that you could get that extra 8 hours to beat the record.
Yeah, and that 46 was without any sleep. And, you know, a lot of the people, a lot of our family and friends that are, you know, here in the Midwest, not only during the event out in New York wanted to know how things were going for us there, but also even during that trial run, they were starting to get excited about it and wanted to get updates every few hours. Are you still going, you know, 32, 36 hours in? And as soon as I'd woken up from my three-hour nap after the 46 hours, I sent a message out saying that, you know, made it 46. The record's going to be no problem. And that was exactly it. I knew at that point that we were going to be fine.
So how close did you guys stay to the event, and how quickly did you, when you woke up on the morning of the 7th, when you guys started, how quickly were you guys playing?
I think we got up about 7:15, 7:30, and, you know, we made sure to get enough sleep, you know, leading up to it the few nights before, and then especially that night, we were fortunate to be able to get to sleep the night before with all the excitement coming up the next day. So we got a decent amount of sleep, and then 7:15, 7:30 got up, and we just kind of calm, leisurely, you know, woke up and walked over there. It wasn't rushed or anything like that. We started playing at 9 o'clock.
What kind of food did you guys eat during the tournament? Lots of fresh fruit, any energy drinks? What did you guys do?
I think we were on a bar, so we did have, you know, chicken tenders, kind of stuff like that. My wife was with, and she just did an amazing job. There was a Walgreens half a block away,
mm-hmm.
and there was a point where I was kind of hitting a low point because all I had was really water. I didn't have any caffeine until the second day, but I really needed an energy boost, and she ran out and got, like, some bananas. Actually, Hal Richmond brought in bananas because he saw I was about ready to keel over.
Yeah.
And magically, like, six bananas showed up. It was amazing. And my wife, Carissa, bought, like, Gatorade and stuff like that. That was really helpful because we were, you know, you're obviously using energy,
mm-hmm.
so you're losing some nutrients and stuff, and water at some point just doesn't cut it anymore.
Now, I read that every hour you guys had 5 minutes and you guys were looking at banking them up. What did that look like? How many breaks do you guys remember doing? Did you do any naps?
We did breaks. For the most part, the schedule was 3 or 4 hours consecutive play time and then a 5 minute break. So we did build up almost 2 hours by about 4 o'clock on Saturday morning. And at that point, because of the time we had built up, we did take a longer break, took a nap in there, and I think it was the difference between being able to make it the last 8-10 hours before breaking the record or not making it at all.
Did the Guinness guys have reps there at the event? How was that whole thing managed?
Yeah, if that's an option. Like when you go after a Guinness event, you can pay to have a rep come and chill out with you all weekend. I didn't hear what the exact number was, but it was quite expensive. So instead of that, what they actually did was video recorded every minute of every hour that we were playing.
Oh.
So they had hour long tapes. So every hour they're switching the tapes, and then they submit that for final documentation and approval by Guinness. So it was nice not to have an extra. I mean, we were cramped enough as it was. A lot of celebrities and professional athletes and stuff coming through, which is crazy. But it was
like
nice
who?
To have
like who? Who was coming through?
Well, we had Jeff Nelson stopped in when we were actually just wrapping up the '98 Yankees and 2001 Mariners series, and he was pitching for both teams. So that was awesome. Sam has autographed score sheets of that, and we had Bill Welke with, the umpiring crew came through. So Bill Welke, Tim Cheetah, those guys popped in. Ron Darling stopped in for a minute. Sam, anybody else?
We didn't get a chance to see him. We were, obviously completely engrossed in what we were doing, but David Robertson was also in the bar at the time we were going through. And again, we would have loved to have been able to actually spend more time talking with Jeff Nelson, who's extremely gracious with the amount of time that he spent there, and the umpire and crew, everybody else that was there. But we had to make sure that for the records that we were submitting to Guinness, it was extremely tough for us to stay focused to make sure that we were continuing to play even though all this other excitement was going on around us.
Yeah, that New York Times blog was very, very cool. It's a good read. I recommend everyone listening to this podcast to go read that, because it gave a little bit of an insight into what was going on. You guys were still playing while this New York Times writer was interviewing you guys, and he kind of talked a little bit about how the information was being relayed to him. You guys, you guys were rolling the dice, and you'd spit out little facts in between each. It's pretty cool. It's very funny. Guys, it was a 32-team tournament, right?
Yeah, that's right.
How was the tournament set up? Because there was 115 games, 116 games total played. Did you guys finish it?
We did. It was. We've gotten a lot of feedback because people who look at the tournament will notice there's no Chicago teams at all, no Cubs, no White Sox. There's none of the great Red teams from the 70s. Part of that is not really by design, but what happened was our original idea for this tournament was to use cards that we haven't used. I've got quite a few seasons, obviously, starting in 90 and going through, and I've got quite a few old seasons also. But I really wanted to use cards I hadn't seen yet. I thought that might help with the kind of the freshness of keeping, if we cycle through teams. So our idea was to use the World Series matchups from all of the seasons that we didn't have. Or that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it started. And then, Hal and the guys at Strat came back to us and said, hey, why don't we do like a tournament? I'm like, well, that's a great idea. So Hal came up with actually all of the teams, and he chose teams from the seasons that I had selected. So I have 1975, so there's no Reds. The Cubs, the White Sox was, it's a New York tournament. It's fun to see a lot of Yankees teams beating up on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of it was stacked with the Yankees teams, which is always great, and it kind of went from there.
Did you guys finish when you guys finished the tournament? Were you done with the record, or did you guys play some additional games in order to hit that 61-hour mark?
We played a few extra. The tournament itself took 111 games.
Okay,
and so we played an additional five after that. Brett wanted to use more of the famous CC Sabathia card from the 08 Brewers. And I wanted to do a little bit more with the 65 Twins. So we played a three-game series with those teams. And then just to keep on playing, get past that 61, we played some 1911 games again after that.
Any games in particular really stick out, like a back and forth one, or
the Oh, I mean, Sam has all the scar sheets from the one, and he can maybe fill in the details on this. There is the 77 Royals lost just an absolute heartbreaker. They had like two errors in the ninth. They were up by either three or four. Lost that lead. They were playing the Orioles, 66 Orioles, I think. And that was just a crusher for me because I lost that game, and I think 13 to 14 innings, and I lost by six. Like the top of whatever the winning inning was, Sam just went off on me. So
yeah, I'm looking at that right now. And maybe you're talking about a different one. The one I found real easily was the 07 Red Sox on the road against those 77 Royals. Two errors in the 12th, and the Red Sox picked up 9 runs in the 12th alone.
Mm-hmm.
End up being 16-7.
Yeah, 9-run 12th innings are never good. Unbelievable. Okay, we need to move on.
It's still a sore spot for you, huh?
Yeah.
116 total games played, and this one game, it still irks you.
Yeah, you know, it's like I had the 5-homer inning, and, like, that was cool because I was like, it just happened by surprise. But you don't even have time to enjoy it, you know? And this thing is, like, dragging on, and you're just watching your team. You're like, please hit it to White. You know, hit the second base where he's a 1-8. Don't hit it anywhere else. And, like, my outfielders are making errors. It was just unbelievable.
You guys sound like very competitive guys. Like, even just that one little game amongst all of these, it sounds like you guys wanted to win every single game. At least you, Brett.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, we're both really competitive. You know, we get together, we'll do, you know, outside actual sporting events and different things like that. And, yeah, you know, we drive one another. When you have a history that goes back that long, as so many of, you know, Strata League mates do, you know, they're playing with guys they grew up with. It's just kind of part of the deal. It's part of the rivalry.
That's awesome. Hey, do you guys play any other Strato sports besides baseball?
Yeah, we're pretty into football, actually, as well.
Nice.
That was something we really hammered when we were in kind of middle school, into high school. We basically played all-star teams. You know, we had 4 guys in the league, and then we expanded to, I think, 6 at one point. And, you know, we just used all the teams and stuff. So that was a lot of fun. And, again, still cards and dice, using all the rules, super advanced, all that deal.
All right. Now, you guys currently, at the time we're recording this on July 7th, you guys are getting all of those box scores put together so Strato can put them on the website, correct?
Yeah, that's something I've been working on. Had a lot going on since the event.
Yeah.
I've moved. I've had launched the business, working on some other things. But I'm actually in the process right now, as we speak, putting together the tournament totals. I sent the American League totals, batting and pitching totals, to Brett and Adam Rosen about 3:00 this morning when I got that done. And it should be probably another hour or two, and I'll be done with the National League as well. So I have it broken down, each team's stats by round, so you can see how they did it against a specific team,
mm-hmm.
and then the totals as well on a completely separate set of spreadsheets.
Well, thank you, Brett Caro and Sam Henneman, and congratulations for getting into the Guinness Book of World Records and doing this for the Stratomatic community. It's something very cool. You guys proud?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been on the Strat Forum. I've kind of been around. You know, people are kind of starting to get to know me. And I, you know, what's weird is I've always kind of felt like, since winning the Ultimate Fanatic contest, just kind of felt like an underdog, like it came out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
Who's this guy, you know? So it's nice to be able to kind of show people, hey, you know, I'm just a Strat head like everybody else. And,
yeah.
And it was really cool to share this event, you know, with Strato. Obviously, being in New York City was just amazing. You know, if I know I said during the heat of the battle, they interviewed us. They're like, you know, if somebody beats your record, you're going to do it. And I laughed and I'm like, nope. I'm like, I'm out. But you know, you have a little chance to revisit that. So if somebody beats it again, I wouldn't be surprised if Sam and I make another attempt.
Nice. Well, guys, I know you wanted to say thank you to a few special people that were involved in this whole process. Sam, why don't you start us off?
Well, I definitely wanted to thank a number of people that, you know, we absolutely could not have pulled it off without, you know, Hal and Adam Richman, Adam Rosen from Strato, and everybody else that was working behind the scenes there. You know, and all the witnesses. Brett had mentioned earlier that, you know, part of the process with Guinness is with not having one of their reps there is submitting all the documentation, and we also had to have two witnesses working in shifts, you know, no more than 4 hours per witness shift, and so you know, there are a number of people that you know, I wouldn't even be able to name all of them, but you know, the Strato had lined up a number of people. Hal had worked on getting witnesses out there, but also a number of Brett's personal friends were able to make it. They flew themselves out from Milwaukee and Ohio, and I'm sure I'm missing some of them. But we absolutely wouldn't have been able to do it without them, and also want to thank Foley's out there in New York for having us.
Yeah, and just to kind of absolutely piggyback off of that, Sam named everybody I was going to name. It was really cool to be able to share it with witnesses. So, and a lot of them were old coworkers of mine from Minneapolis, Milwaukee areas. You know, Hal Richman, Adam Rosen, those guys were just instrumental, obviously, in making this thing happen, having the idea to do it, having, of course, the brilliant idea of having us involved. No, obviously, like Sam said, this would not have happened without those guys, and we were just completely honored to be a part of it. It's truly something special for the game company, for the game industry as well. It's gotten a lot of play, and it's, you know, people ask, why don't you play video games? Well, you know, and obviously we touched on that earlier. It's a different, you know, this game is a different game. It's not necessarily made for everybody, but for the people that it is made for, it's a way of life. And it, you know, and it goes into our families. And on that note, you know, I absolutely want to thank my wife, Carissa, for putting up with me, for flying out with me, doing all those things, you know, sitting there for 10 hours in a bar, I'm sure is just absolutely boring watching us play Strato. But, you know, it's, again, I want to thank, you know, my witnesses as well for coming out. They, you know, one of them joked, they're like, well, because they would work 4 hours on, 8 hours off, and then be back for another 4 hours. That schedule's a heck of a lot tougher than just staying awake for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, because you can only sleep 4 or 5 hours. You can't show up inebriated. You can't drink while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're just watching a board game. And anybody who's watched Strato, I mean, if you don't have the score sheet in front of you, it's, you know, there's a disconnect. You can't really see what's going on. So, but again, you know, without the great minds of Strato there, none of this would have happened. So we just want to thank them again.
Awesome. Well, guys, congratulations again, and thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, this episode of the Stratomatic Podcast has been a Right Turn Media production. I'm your host, Steve Ryder. If you have any comments or suggested topics, email me, commish@HerculeanFootball.com. commish@HerculeanFootball.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.